Good day and welcome to the Bible study for May 30th. And we're going to be looking in Psalm 34. And as we do that, we want to look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Open the pages of the Word of God to us, Lord, and the things that are written here that were given by the Holy Spirit. I pray you would teach us now. O Holy One, teach us and lead us. Give us an understanding of not just what is written here and what it means, but what it applies to our own personal life. Come and give us help, Lord, in our own walks and in our own struggles and trials, and come and minister to our souls with the Word of God at this time. And make it powerful by thy name and through thy voice, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 34, there's a little title in the Bible here, a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And Abimelech's actually Achish of Gath. And we'll look at that in a minute. And we'll come back here, the first verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, I want to look in 1 Samuel 21 and at verse 10. David is fleeing. David's looking back now in Psalm 34, and he's writing about this time. And in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? That's funny that the Philistines called him the king of the land when Saul was actually the king at this point. But David had led the army enough that that seems to be the respect that they had for him. And his successes were known, even the songs that were sang at his homecoming from the various wars. And verse 12 says, And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And so the servants of Achish, when they saw David, they said, Whoa, this is David. And David has slain his 10,000s of people. And, you know, mighty warrior. Now, David was frightened when he heard that Achish knew who he really was. And was sore afraid, the Bible says. Verse 13, and changed his behavior before them and feigned himself or pretended himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down his beard. So he took his fingernails and he scraped things in the wood of the great city gates of Gath, and let his spit or slobber run down the side of his face as though he had mental problems of some serious nature. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Verse 1 of the next chapter. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So David is fleeing from Saul. And in Psalm 34, it's not written at the time that it's happening, but David is looking back at that experience. And And he says that he will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth, David says. And no, David makes no mention of his acting the madman. No consideration is given to it at all. His deliverance was all from God. As far as he's concerned, he got away from Saul only to be worse off in Gath and almost to be captured by the Philistines. So he looks back at those times. You know, have you ever had times like that when you tried to get out of a bad situation only to make it worse? And, you know, I have, I'm sure you have as well. And we need to look to the Lord for help. And he was looking to take care of himself, I think, and things didn't go well. And so looking back, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless, I will speak well of the Lord. I will kneel to the Lord and show him the honor and the respect that he deserves. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's not angry with the Lord. He's not accusing the Lord of not helping him or something. But he's praising the Lord. It really means to salute God, to thank him, and to acknowledge how good God has been to him. And he says, at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Those two things, at all times and continually. He will bless the Lord, and he will praise him. And those who walk with God are like this. We all walk through difficult times. But, you know, there are things that happen to every one of us that no one can say they fully understand. They fully understand what God is doing. They fully understand what God has allowed in their life. There are many things that don't turn out the way we want them to. They don't go the way we want them to go. There are even some prayers that are so important to us that we have to wait and wait and wait to see them answered. And, you know, and sometimes we ask why. But the saved always go back to this, that God knows best, that God knows what he's doing. And sometimes we may say it reluctantly, even with a hurt in our heart. But God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And we go through our fears. We go through the things we fear. We go through deep waters. We go through many storms in life. We face enemies. We face troubles. We face disappointment. We face discouragement. But he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now he's looking back through some of the darkest days he ever went through and says, I'm going to bless the Lord. Always I'm going to bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm just going to bless the Lord and be thankful for the Lord and for his care in my life. He said, those of us who walk with God, we always think well of him. We always praise him. Now, there are other people that may be just merely religious, and so if God doesn't do what they want, they're angry and frustrated and miserable and resentful, but we're not that way with God. We realize that we always should bless the Lord. We always should lift up his name and think so very much of him for all that he's done for us, for saving our souls, and for all the way that he has taken care of us in life and watched over us and provided for our needs and answered so many prayers. Praise is a way of changing your situation. It changes our spirit. It changes our attitude. And to praise the Lord and to do it from your heart, even when you're hurting, just changes everything. You begin to think of how good God is. You begin to think of how wonderful the Lord is, how kind he is, and of the good things that he's done. And to have a positive view of the Lord is so important, because that's the only view that is worthy of Him. To think highly of Him, to rejoice in Him, to praise His name. And praise is a wonderful thing in our spirit, and to help us to have a right spirit before Him. And it turns our hearts from the hurt and from the sorrow to see God's face, to see that He loves us. There are a lot of things we can't know in life. We can't always know what God is doing, because He is God and we are mere children. Because He is omnipotent and all-knowing and all-powerful. But we are so limited and know so little and are so sinful. It's not possible for us to always know what God is doing and why. But number one, we can always trust God. We can trust Him that He has the best plan and the best purposes for us in mind. Always God loves us and cares for us and is always trying to do what is very best for His glory, but also for our lives. And number two, we can always praise God, because God is good. He's good to you and He's good to me. And no matter what trial we're facing, in spite of that trial or in spite of the difficulty that is wearing us down, look up and look around and see in how many other ways God is being good to you. God is caring for you. God is loving you and watching out for you. And no matter what trial we face, praise the Lord at all times. Not just when things are going your way, and not just things when you're getting what you want in life, but even if you're not, to praise the Lord, it's our responsibility. And it should be in our character to praise God at all times. And this is what the godly king of Israel, David, was like. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I will pray, His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You know, you think, what's in your mouth? What's coming out of that mouth of mine? Is praise to God coming out, or is it just doom and gloom and complaining and whining? We don't want to be that kind of a person. Our God deserves so much more than that. And may the Lord help us. And then verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." My soul. My soul is the inner man, the real person. What I am, without a false appearance of any type, without pretending anything, all praise should come from the soul. It shouldn't just come from the mouth, because whatever doesn't come from the heart and soul doesn't really mean anything to God. What means something to God is what we really are and what really comes from the heart. Not just putting on an act, not just saying right words or words that are true, but saying things that come from the heart. And certainly not just putting on a show in church or before others as you know, to try to impress people. That's not what we should be about at all. My soul shall make her boast in God. My soul. My wife and I really like a lady. She's gone home to be with the Lord, but when she used to be on television, when you used to be here recording of her, she meant every word of what she said. She put her heart and soul and sang from her soul to God, and how wonderful that was. And that's why sometimes people's public praise for God it's practically repulsive. It's like, this isn't right, because what they're saying is not what they're living. Now, all of us struggle with that from time to time, but we want to be right with God. We want to give Him praise that comes from our soul. And, just going through the motions of doing our duties without our heart in serving God, I think it turns people away from worship, the true worship of God, if what we're offering is fake. And that's why some sermons that you hear do no good to your heart. They may have good words in them, but they're not coming from the heart of the man who's preaching them. But that's why some songs, good gospel songs, don't really seem to do anything. They're sung by Christian people, but their music is only entertainment. It's just a performance that doesn't have the power of God. It doesn't have the presence of God. It's not coming from the heart. It's just there so that someone can put on a performance and perhaps with the thought, look at me, where it should be all glory and praise should be to God. God certainly hates hypocrisy. And hypocrisy, what that really is acting a part that's not really true to the person who's involved. And it goes back to people who were in a theater and were acting a part which wasn't them. That's what hypocrisy really is. It's someone acting a part. The soul must be involved in praise to God if that praise is going to be real, if it's going to be an acceptable offering of praise to God. It has to come from our heart. So my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the Bible says. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad, King David says. When it's real, that's when the humble hear it and they're glad. Because, fakeness and dead religion is repulsive. Saying good words is not necessarily good. The Lord kept anyone who was possessed with a demon from offering him any praise and saying who he really was. For a demon possessed to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ was, improper and wrong, wicked even. Now, we've all done it. We've all, myself included, have acted or said something that in worship to God that isn't our hearts. And are coming from our soul. But the whole point is, those who walk with God have a real walk with Him. They have a real relationship with Him. They have a real closeness to Him. And that's what we all need to have. That's what David has, and that's what he's recommending by his example. And he says, "My soul shall make her boast." Now, when someone boasts, anybody who boasts, when we boast about something that we value the most about us. Now, when we boast in God, when David was going to boast, it was going to be not about that he was the king or that he was victorious in war, there was a great leader, but that God was his God and his Lord and his Savior. We want to make our boast in God. We want to say, what is the best thing that has ever happened to us in relation to God? The best thing that has ever happened was the day that we were saved and our sins were forgiven. God took his pen in the book of life and wrote our names in that book forever. The most wonderful thing that has ever happened, the best thing that has ever happened in the life of a saved soul was the moment we trusted Christ as our Savior and knew that our sins were all forgiven, that heaven was our home. I've got a great wife. I don't really think there's anyone like mine. The day when I married her was a wonderful day, but it's still a second best day in my life, because the best day was on my knees under the hickory tree in the back of the farm where I trusted Christ as my Savior. I make my boast in God and say the best thing is knowing Christ. My boast is not that I did anything worthy or anything. I came as a worthless soul. I came as sinful. I came stained with sin to the cross. And there Christ bled and died for me, and I trusted that that suffering and his death and his resurrection the third day was the full payment for my sins, and I had nothing to pay. I had nothing to offer. Jesus paid it all, as the song says, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a new name and a new nature and a new home. My home is heaven. Are you saved? The best thing that you can say about the Lord to make your boast in God is to say, I was a useless, worthless, sinful person, and God in mercy reached down and saved me. And how wonderful that is. He said, the humble shall hear what his soul says. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble will hear his boast of belonging to God and how good God is and how wonderful God is. And they'll be glad. And that's what happens, you know, when you hear a sermon and you can hardly sit still. It's so exciting. God is working. Or when you hear a good gospel song and it just thrills your soul. It makes us so glad. Or, you know, we hear a testimony time and there's a time of praise and someone says how great God is and how good he is. It just does good for your own soul. It makes us so glad to hear someone exalt the name of the Lord and lift up his name. The Holy Ghost works with what is real in us and what he has worked in our lives. We are his workmanship. We are the workmanship of the Lord Jesus. And what he has worked in our lives is a wonderful thing. And that's what the Lord uses. And what is real is what reaches the humble, and it helps everyone who hears by the Holy Spirit. It makes us glad because it meets the needs of the inner man within us and the soul. And the humble hear thereof and glad. The proud don't hear and get glad when someone is preaching with the help of the Spirit of God, or someone is singing and testifying with the help of the Holy Spirit. The proud... it's not mentioned that the proud are blessed by that and helped by that, because the proud don't wish to magnify the Lord and glorify God. The proud goal is to have someone speak well of them and think well of them, which essentially is idolatry. It is the honor and the glorifying and the praising and the exalting of self, when that only should be the Lord himself. In Psalm 34 and verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, as though he's anticipating that those who are proud have something wrong with their heart, that they don't like to hear someone just preach the gospel and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus and give the great invitation to sinners to come and be saved. The proud don't want to hear that. And he says, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify him. And to magnify him and to make people think much of the Lord. And let us exalt his name together. And lift up his name in preaching and singing and testimony and public worship has always been the key. Of serving God. And it's necessary and it's essential for us to be gathered together to worship and praise the Lord, Let us magnify the Lord with me, he says, and let us exalt the name, his name together. Let's get together for preaching and for singing and the exalting and praising God. We haven't been able to do much of that, and of course that's not been good and it's not been right. We need to magnify the Lord. If you magnify something, you make it easier to see the detail. Magnify the Lord with me, David says. Make the Lord easy for others to see how good he is. Speak of how good he's been to you so that others can see his goodness to all. And whatever he is to me, he also is to you. And so if I speak of how good God has been, that's the beauty of a true testimony. A testimony should be a testimony about the Lord. How many times have I been in a testimony meeting, testimonies were invited, and people got up and they praised some other man. And I sat there and thought to myself, you've got to be kidding. You're going to praise a doctor. Are you going to praise the preacher? Are you going to praise some human for what they have done? How is that a testimony for the Lord? Let us praise the name of God and speak of how good God has been to our soul. Let it not be just about men by any means. Let me magnify the Lord. It's the Lord that we want to magnify and make it so other people can see him more clearly. And then in the next verse, he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I was praying, he says, and God heard and answered my prayer and delivered me from all my fears. Now, when you think about it, David put this act on for Achish, or Abimelech, whichever name you want to use for him. He put this show on, acted like he was insane. But that's not mentioned here. That's not mentioned as to any reason why David was able to flee the city of Gath of the Philistines and return to Israel and go and dwell in the cave of Adullam. Why is it not mentioned? Because he didn't trust in his own acting, but in God. He didn't trust in his own device. I'm not sure why he did that. Maybe God gave him that idea. We don't know, but we do know this. He prayed, and God answered that prayer. And when Achish drove him away, according to the words above where this psalm starts in our Bible, this little title that's been given it, he went back to Israel again and had escaped another enemy. And so in verse 4, he simply says, I sought the Lord. I went looking for him and his help in prayer. How many times we pray and we tell God stuff that he already knows, instead of looking for him, looking to him, bringing our request, telling the Lord exactly what we need him to do and what we want him to do, and pleading with him to have mercy and grace upon us and to hear us. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. One of the most wonderful things that we have happen in our lives as children of God over and over and over is having our prayers answered. Being able to come to God with things that you would never tell anybody else, that maybe you're struggling with in your heart, and just pour your heart all out to God, and then have him answer those answers things specifically that you have asked him. See him work things so that you know exactly that God is answering your prayer and all the things that you brought before him one by one. He delivered me, he said, when I asked him, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He still had to flee from Saul. So I believe he's looking back at this time and period in general. He's looking back specifically to this time when he was able to escape from Achish and go back to Israel. But he's also looking at, I think, the whole time when he had to flee from Saul all the way till Saul's death, actually. And Saul was killed in the battlefield. That was it for David having to fear. And he looks back at this and he says, God delivered me from all my fears. The word deliver here means to snatch away. And as soon as I say that, we'll think of the coming of the Lord to take his church home to heaven. One of these days, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to snatch us away out of this world. He's going to come to the clouds. They'll, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's going to be the end of our troubles, and that's going to be the end of fears and worries and sorrows and strife. We're going to be delivered from this earth and all the trouble that living in this world comes, all our fears. And I think that, as with David, God often delivers us from our fears one by one, not necessarily all at once. One by one we plead with him about things, and according to the right time and his time, he deals with them. And some are taken out of the way, like David when he escaped Gath, but you keep praying for help and keep on expecting and keep experiencing being delivered from our fears one after another, and remember them before God. And in verse 5, he says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Who's the they? I believe the they are the people that were with David. I don't think David went to Gath all by himself. There was at least a small group of warriors that went with him. There they were in the enemy city, and there were these counselors and advisors to King Achish, as they looked out and saw David, perhaps right out there in his court, they said, you know, this is David. This is the king of the land. This is the one who they sang songs about, saying Saul has slain his mere thousands, but David is 10,000s. And while they were telling this to the king, and David was standing there overhearing it even, he was greatly afraid. But he wasn't the only one afraid. Every one of those men who came with David realized they were in the same boat he was in. They were in the same predicament, that if Achish decided to lift a hand against them, there was no way they were going to escape. And every one of them apparently prayed, because it says they looked unto him. The him is the Lord. They looked unto the Lord and were lightened. As they prayed, they didn't look to David to help them. They looked to God for their help. And at that moment, that somebody was, these people were reporting to Achish who David really was, they looked to God. And when they did, the Bible says, they looked unto him and were lightened. They brightened up. The dark clouds went away. They were afraid. They looked like they were in the worst situation they'd ever been in. And they cheered up. The load was lifted. Their minds were calmed. Nothing could better express what happens when you see God working. You see God doing something. And Maybe they looked over and saw David clawing at the palace gate, saw him putting on this act as though he was had lost his mind, and they began to see that God was working a plan and that God was doing something. So Achish said, you know, what need do I have of madman that you brought David into my presence? And, you know, away with him. And he was ushered out of there and was able to go home free. And these men seen the plan of God begin to work out, and a load was lifted. They looked unto the Lord in prayer and looked to him for help. And then almost immediately they began to see God work things out. Isn't it wonderful when you see an answer to prayer coming like that? How many times we pray and immediately the answer is there. Most of the times when we pray, we see the answer coming. And sometimes when you get done praying, you know, just know God heard. And the load is lifted off your heart. Nothing has changed in your circumstances or your life yet. But you know the Lord is at it. And you know the Lord is in charge. You know he's going to do something. And you just know the answer's on its way. And God's going to bless your heart and bless your life. And he's heard and answered. And they were lightened. Their faces were lightened. And then he goes on to say, and their faces were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. They rejoiced. They joyed in God. They found God to be all that they hoped he would be and more. And they would never be sorry for putting their confidence in God at that moment and asking him for his help. And hasn't, you know, haven't you been there? Haven't you seen such victories where you see the darkness flee and the trouble over and your load is lifted and you just have a joy put in your heart? They were not ashamed. They had nothing to be ashamed of. How wonderful. But how else but having trouble would we know what God can do in the darkest circumstance? If we hadn't had those days, if we didn't have trouble, if we didn't have sorrow, if we didn't have grief, if we didn't have distress of mind and worry and all of those things, how would we ever be able to go and to say, you know, I'm always going to thank the Lord. I'm always going to thank God. Even if God's not doing what I wish he would do and what I'm asking him to do right now in your life, I don't know where you are in your walk with God and how it's going, but even if God's not doing what we would hope he would do right now, we have to wait, and there's nothing I hate like waiting, but you have to do it. And God requires waiting because waiting prepares the soul for the blessing that's coming. And so does distress and discouragement and so many other things. And how else but in trouble would our hearts and our lives would we know how great God is? How do we know how great and how powerful and how mighty and how caring and how loving he is? And even in the darkest days, you can always look back in your life and say, oh, I remember. I remember I had trouble before. I remember I had sorrow before. I remember I was discouraged before, whatever it might be. I remember I had such a need in my life, and God answered it. And God delivers again, and God delivers in our life over and over and over. And he will deliver in your life, and he will deliver in mine, no question about it. And then the last verse here in this study, till next time. This poor man cried, verse 6, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, personal experience is where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. In a true walk with God, in a true closeness to him, personal experience. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, the God of Israel, the fear of Isaac, the true God, the God of Jacob, is our God and our Lord. And this poor man, I was in so much trouble, and God helped me. This poor man, or maybe you say this poor woman, or this poor child, this poor teenager, this poor senior citizens, wherever you are, whatever you are, you can look back and say, this pitiful person that I am, I was in such a lot of trouble, and there was no way out. And I cried unto the Lord, and he saved me out of all my troubles. Can you say that? You're the poor man who can pray and have God hear you and have the experience of God delivering you from all your troubles. I ask you, how is your walk with God? Can you say that God has done something great for you lately? You might not be able to say it in a testimony time. It might be something so very, very personal, something that, you know, it's not somebody else's business, but in your heart, you can say so much praise and so much thanks and so much uplifting of the name of the Lord. And you can bless his name. You can bow your knee to the Lord and say, I am unworthy, Lord, of all your goodness and of all your kindness to me. Can you name troubles that he has delivered you from just in the last few days? Can you name what great things God has done? Have you turned to him? Have you sought him? Is your salvation real? Is it living? Is God giving you the victory for your soul? And can you from your soul then return praise and say, my soul shall make her boast in God? And can you get together with others and praise the Lord and just rejoice? Even if you're in hard times and difficult times, times maybe when you have trouble putting a smile on your face, and yet there's a song in your heart as you look up to God and say, God, you, Lord, you saved me from my sins. And over and over and over, you heard my prayer and helped me when I was in a dire need. What a great God. What a great Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your goodness to us. Thank you for this song of praise in the old Hebrew songbook, the Psalm 34 that means so much to us. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. May you bless every heart and every life hearing it, that out of it there would be a magnifying of God with our lives, that others may see him clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.